Welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of the Dr. Karina Smith Podcast. Conversations about Yin Yoga and Chinese medicine.
In today's episode, I'm talking with the amazing Bridget Hunter. Bridget is almost finished her degree in Chinese medicine, and I can't wait for her to join the flock. In today's episode, we're discussing the beautiful offering that her and her business partner have been doing around Melbourne called Yin and Pin. And this is a beautiful way that they've been able to bring both aspects of Yin Yoga and Chinese medicine together in a way that they really fit, and also in a way that's meant they could bring more community acupuncture to people that really need it. So we dive into that. We dive into the nuts and bolts of how they actually do this in a session and the journey that they've been on in the way that they've been cultivating and bringing the evolution of this practice to Melbourneites. I'm really excited to have you join us for this conversation today, and thank you for listening. So, welcome, Bridget. So nice to have you.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Karina.
Yes. So Bridget and I know each other from Southern School. We've both been students of Southern School. I'm just a half a step ahead, but we definitely had, I feel like we had a great connection as soon as we kind of met. I was like, who are you? Yeah, who are you? Let's kind of get in orbit. And at the time that we're recording this, Bridget's right at the tail end of finishing her studies, which is huge. How are you going with that, Bridget?
Yep, it's massive. So probably 13 weeks tomorrow till we finish. So yeah, on the home stretch, just going to run through to the end and get it done. Get all the boxes. Yep.
I just, when I was finishing my degree, I sort of described it like, I'm in a plane, one wing's been blown off, and I'm just trying to find a landing where there's the least amount of damage possible, but there's definitely going to have to be some repairs when we get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be some serious holidaying at the end of the year.
The self-care first aid kit, it comes out, and then you've got to put all the things that we've been learning into practice for you.
On yourself first. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Bridget, I've been really, as I've shared with you off air, I've been really into this idea at the moment, or just writing a couple of articles about some thoughts that I've been having about Yin Yoga and Chinese medicine and how they relate and how they may not necessarily relate when it comes to bringing the paradigm of Chinese medicine into the Yin Yoga classroom. And I've got to say, even when I was first learning things in the TCM training that we have done, I always felt a little bit weird about bringing it into the Yin Yoga classroom, because sometimes it's just so dense and there's so much information. And when the people that are receiving that don't quite know all the things that you know, it's really easy for them to make connections that are not correct. And sometimes those connections can leave them feeling worried about their body. And the examples that I give sometimes is if you do a whole sequence that's kidney oriented and there's a lot of pulling and pushing on the low back tissue and they go home with an aching lower back, they may suddenly just think, oh, there must be something wrong with my kidneys. And everyone that's come through my Yin Yoga course, and I know you've done extensive Yin Yoga teacher training, they always say the Chinese medicine stuff is really interesting, but it's so full on, it kind of goes over their head and they don't feel comfortable speaking to it in a classroom because they don't really understand the full breadth of it. And some of the things that I've been writing about are that in a Yin Yoga classroom, the main interventions that we have really to work with are the body itself. So how we apply stress to the body in terms of tensile or compressive or shia, and how we use our breath and our own intention to move qi in the body, and that we don't have herbs and acupuncture in there. But you and your lovely business partner have actually created something where you are able to bring more of that into the Yin Yoga space, namely bringing the needles in. So I'd love for you to share with us this offering that you have and how it was born and how it's sort of evolved. And love to hear about it.
Great. So my business partner is Jane Ferguson. She probably graduated about 5 years ago. So she's been practicing herbs acupuncture for the last 5 years. We originally connected about 15 years ago in the yoga world and reconnected. And I think yin and pin, really, it was Jane's brainchild. And she contacted me because I had done all this yin training. She had finished her TCM and I probably had a bit of an unconventional start to TCM. I did my yin training first, and through my teacher, Misan, and her, the way that she inspired me, I started TCM, learning TCM. So maybe a bit of an opposite direction, but so had reconnected with Jane. She'd finished, she was practicing, and she had a big passion for community acupuncture. And that was really where that idea of community acupuncture was, where we started talking about how can we use the environment of a yoga studio to bring that community acupuncture together, or make that happen here in Melbourne. And Jane had been to Taiwan. She had worked in a voluntary capacity giving community acupuncture in the northern suburbs, and really wanted to see that come to life again. And she is a yoga practitioner. She asked me about yin, really to try and understand where that fits in. And knowing that a yoga studio had the space to be able to put a group of people on the floor, get them to do a yin class, what did that look like? How could we then morph that into some acupuncture, really basic, where people felt really comfortable? And so we met a lot of times and finally came up with what we think now was a pretty good workshop at about 2.5 hours, where we do some yin yoga, we do some acupuncture, we accompany that with a yoga nidra to kind of keep everyone nice and calm. It obviously takes a little bit of time to get around to everyone. We end that with some tea, so some seasonal tea. We very early on decided that all of our yin and pin sessions should be based around the season. So the basic premise of that being that if you live in harmony with the seasons, good health will follow. And it was just a nice, to keep on that path was a really nice way to also give people a little bit extra. So at the end of that, those sessions where we talked about harmony with the seasons, we could then talk to them about really simple dietary stuff and lifestyle stuff that, you know, people might not know. You know, we have food available to us in all seasons. And, you know, a lot of younger people don't realize that actually fruit and vegetable isn't available in all seasons. And what are the things we could do? What foods could we eat in the season to feel a little bit better? What activities, what lifestyle, small changes could we do, like, you know, sleeping at yin times? And it was just a really nice segue to always stay on the season and not get too far off topic. I think exactly as you were saying, if you go down the path of talking about kidneys and lower back pain, all of a sudden you're scaring people. But if you're just talking about, hey, it's spring and it's a time of upward and outward growth and, you know, let's eat some green veggies, that's a lot that's easier to incorporate than, you know, people going home and worrying about their sore lower blood. Back. Yeah, yeah. Blood. Oh, yeah, blood.
My jing. Oh, God, my jing. Yeah, all gone.
I wasn't born with any.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of, yeah, that's where we ended up. And that was sort of 2017. We started running them. I was very early in my TCM learnings then. The yin part of it was very much my baby. The acupuncture, Jane speaks to everyone before we go into the class, get a bit of an idea of what they're experiencing. We don't really do musculoskeletal. If someone walks in and says, I've got a bad back, it's probably not what we're going to address. We're going to try and, like, you know, come back to something a little bit softer so the experience is a bit nicer. And like you say, blood, we're not trying to get dirt chi at spleen 10. We're trying to give them a really nice experience. So we got it down to basically 4 needles for everyone, whatever that looked like, you know, a bit of liver 3, large intestine 4, some balancing, some earth, some spleen. and stomach kind of stuff. So trying to keep it pretty low key, but knowing that they're going to walk away with a really nice acupuncture treatment, they're going to feel really good at the end, was the goal. And to keep those needles to a minimum, and knowing too that a lot of the studios that we went into initially were hot yoga studios. And so we were dealing with students who had a love of yang, and maybe a little bit deficient because their love of yang was excessive. So yeah, knowing that we were actually dealing with a lot of people who were quite deficient, and so not wanting to have too many needles as well, but wanting people to have that really nice experience and not walking away completely drained. So that was important as well. So yeah, as we went, as we did a few, like lots of those little things became really obvious. And yeah, just
to get
that session really tight, I guess, by the end, because we actually started at 3 hours and then realized people probably didn't really want to be out of the house for 3 hours. So then, yeah, by the time we got it right down to 2 hours and 15 minutes and quite a slick operation where people left feeling good.
That's great. I was just thinking as you were talking about that, I mean, what a beautiful way to bring these things together. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that come up for people when they are contemplating what it might mean to start some community acupuncture is, I mean, the big ones are, we're going to have to find a space and we're going to need to fit it out with however many beds and sheets that we could pull across and equipment for everybody. But if you're doing it as part of a yoga nidra, you don't even need a massage table. You don't need a treatment table. It's just people on the floor.
Yep.
So it's really minimal.
Yep.
And then the info sheet that you've provided that I've read is so thorough. And I feel like you've both done a really remarkable job of covering all the bases and giving great information for both a studio owner and for anybody that might be interested. It's very, very well-rounded. It's very professional. Fantastic.
Thank you.
By just keeping it really minimal with a couple of needles, you are starting to introduce that next layer of potential healing for somebody to really, really complement what they've just moved through in their body, which just sounds amazing. And I think if you made it more complicated and you were doing really complicated point prescriptions for each person, things would come up and you would just be putting out little fires in the room, dealing with people's reactions to that, and I'm sure that was probably something that you discussed, like, hey, we can't be doing full intakes with everybody, pulse and tongue, and doing it the same way that we would if you were coming for weekly treatments. It's got to be broad enough and general enough, the things that most people really need, which I'm going to guess would be Shen calming. Tonification.
Yep. And that's exactly, you know, our only requirement of the students, like we had kind of said, as long as we can get to below your knees, below your elbows, we're going to cover off, you know, all the great points we're going to do are going to be in those areas. And you're going to be really relaxed. We're not going to contort you into a position where one hand's up here and one's down here because we've got some weird needle combination.
We're doing heart one. No.
Bit of massage.
CV1 and heart one. Go. No. So how many people might you have in a session? What size would the group be?
So we, depending on the size of the studio, we need Jane to be able to move around really freely. We went up to an absolute maximum of 20, but 16 is about perfect. So again, depending on the size of the studio, she has to be able to walk between everyone. And, you know, we know people are going to want to call us over. So, you know, that movement between people has to be fairly easy. So we always said 16 was our perfect number. That was just
16 sounds good.
Really nice number. Sitting at the front of the room, I can see everyone really easily in that nidra. Obviously the yin class is the yin class. It's always going to be spread out. Props are here, props are there. And that's always going to be amazing. But yeah, once we get to that acupuncture, we wanted to both be sure that we could see everyone and we could respond to anyone as soon as they needed, if they needed a response.
Yeah. And how did you invite people to communicate to you that they needed you to come back if, say, Jane had put the needles in and then she was moving through the group, and suddenly they just felt like, wait, I'm not entirely comfortable, not okay, or whatever might come up for them.
So we put in place, so when Jane came into the room, we gave them a really good introduction about what was going to happen, because any anxiety would have often came because people didn't know what was going to happen. And you've just done a yin class, and we might have told them at the start what was going to happen, but they've just done a yin class. They're in full yoga brain mode. They don't know whether they're Arthur or Martha. So we recapped that there's 16 people in the room. We're going to be moving through one at a time. So you might be waiting kind of 10 minutes until your needles are in. So don't fret that your needles aren't in yet. So just alleviating all of those concerns that everything doesn't happen at once was a big way to keep people kind of calm. And the fact that I was talking them through a nidra, and hopefully they were relaxed. But once that was done, we had said to them, talk to Jane while she's putting in the needles, and immediately, if once she's gone, just any little wave, any little hand signal was to me. So to either of us, it didn't even have to be directed, because I was like, well, you know, when you're teaching, you're a hawk, you can see absolutely everything. So it was really just making sure that I could see everyone, and even one little like this, because, you know, they've also got needles in their hands, so they don't want to be moving too much. And that was absolutely enough. We never had any big dramas. We had a girl having a coughing fit who had a bit of, you know, asthma, hay fever, whatever it was probably the worst thing that ever happened.
I mean, that's the worst thing that's ever happened. That's pretty good.
So
it kind of makes me think, just, you know, when you're actually in treatment with somebody, to keep people, or to help mitigate, as you said, mitigate any anxieties, it's just really good to keep talking them through what's happening and what's about to happen, and how they can let you know to take a step back. So if you've just put something in a needle and they don't like it, it's two things. It's giving information about what's coming, so it's not, you're not bracing for the unknown, and also giving people, reiterating how they can uphold their consensual part of it, so that what they're receiving is okay by them.
Yep.
Because I can imagine that if there wasn't not that information, and someone was laying there waiting to receive their needles, they wouldn't even be really receiving the first 10 minutes of that nidra offering, because they're slightly on edge waiting to have someone put sharp instruments in them.
Well, yeah.
But if you've coaxed them, then they're like, oh, cool, at some point that's coming. So I'll settle in and it's on its way.
And we were always, we didn't know when we started, we didn't know who the students were. We didn't know who we'd be getting. And I guess we were pleasantly surprised at how many people had never had acupuncture before. That really, because we're doing it in yoga studios, so you can imagine that most people have done some kind of yoga, unless they've found us online or whatever. So most people had done a yin class, but, you know, quite a high proportion of people had never had acupuncture. And so the fact that they're willing to trust us that this was going to be their first acupuncture experience, laying on the floor with props and bolsters and blocks and a million blankets and all of their nice music, and that they trusted us enough, that was like, we were blown away. We were in those first few sessions, we were really blown away at how many people gave us that trust and loved it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after the first time we spoke, I kind of went away and thought about this as well, that if you're laying there in this group and you're quite close to them, you know, they're a meter or so away, but they're quite close to you. If you can feel that everyone else has been completely fine with that whole process of the needles in, and you know that's coming, and there's that, the whole room is calm, you're kind of calm. Like we never in all the sessions we've run so far, we've never had an issue with someone in pain because a needle was sharp. Like it was never that kind of issue. Like I say, the coughing was the main one, but, you know, of all these people who'd never had acupuncture, it was incredibly smooth. We were very That's pleasantly great. Surprised. Yeah.
Oh, great.
And I think it is because we set up that environment, we made it a really comfortable, safe place, and they'd done an hour of yin, so how could they not be?
And there's such heightened sensitivity too when you've practiced yin. I imagine that the acupuncture could take you really deep.
Mm.
And there's a nidra, the sound accompaniment is a yoga nidra. Was it hard to get people out of the room? Like, hey, we're coming up and out now. Like, I'm at the bottom of the ocean. Come up when I'm ready.
It was really at the end of 2 hours, because I was thinking back on this again after we spoke. As the nidra came to an end, and you know, the nidra comes, depending on what you're doing, there's kind of a natural coming out of that. And I, again, over the course of doing it many, many times, worked out where I needed to change what I was doing in the nidra. Because an hour, I did like lots of different types. I didn't just do the relax your toes. I moved in and out of some visualizations. And I worked out when they come out right at the end, if you've timed your nidra well enough, everyone starts to get restless. Like when you start talking about the sea and the ocean and the waves and picturing that. And if you get that right, everyone like starts to go, okay, I'm done now. I'm ready. Like, and taking the needles out is a lot quicker than putting them in. So Jane could get through that quite quickly. And everyone kind of got restless at the same time. And I was like, oh, this is just, it just reinforced how good a yoga nidra is, as on top of everything else. It was amazing. The energy, the group energy, the moving together and coming out of things together was,
beautiful.
Really nice. Yeah, really.
There's not many spaces where you can experience that.
No.
In Melbourne. And I'd love for you to share how you speak to the group about what it means to have community healing, or what it means to have community acupuncture, because I think that's something so lovely that you make sure that you include, so that people are open to the experience. Because even where we are at school, we've got a great big room, but you are still very much in your separate cubicle. And you know, when you go to China, which you have, and you see the way that they treat, it's very much community in every way that they do that. It's just we've kind of adapted a different culture here, where acupuncture is very boutique and special, and it's like it's a VIP treatment. You get your own room and it's lovely, and there might be essential oils, and it can be as frilly as somebody wants it to be, or it can just be butcher's paper on the table, lights, no heater, boom, needles in and out, no chit chat. But tell us about how you frame it as community. That's very much in line with moving together as a group.
And we don't talk about it until we talk about it in that middle section. So we do the yin class, and like I say, most people have experienced that, so that's all lovely. But what we do, as soon as people are sort of coming out of their savasana and they're maybe having their nature breaks, and we get Jane in, and Jane has a lovely little speech, isn't the right word, but this is where we start talking about this concept of group healing, is at, you know, after the yin's over and as the acupuncture is about to start, and just bringing people back, because we need to obviously let them go to the bathroom, because they would lay there and not go if we didn't actually tell them to go. So it was also a nice way to bring it all back. And just, I guess we didn't have to say much. It was just that you're here, you're together, you're in this room, we didn't even have to say you're safe. Like, I don't know. We didn't really have to say that much, other than this is why we're here. We're here for this group healing. We're here to be together, we get all our needles in, we lay here together. And, you know, in that nidra, lots of people would fall asleep. And one of the, you know, rules of yoga nidra is don't fall asleep. And I'm like, you can fall asleep whenever you like. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't do the whole, if you fall asleep,
poke anybody.
No. Wait. Yeah, no. I want you to have your acu nap. So,
that's great.
Yeah. I don't know. We didn't have to say a lot, just that this is why we're here. And this is a really nice, this is a really beautiful way to have treatment. And I guess the best thing for us is that people kept coming back. You know, we would run these seasonally, and in the studios where this really took off, people would just come back season after season. You know, whether we're saying hello winter, goodbye spring, whatever it was.
That's lovely.
I was that there was just there was one example, and it's kind of on track, but it's kind of not. One of the students, a lady, came and did the yin and pin, and she loved it. And she said, "I want to bring my partner, but he doesn't want the acupuncture. He just wants to be with us." And we're like, "Okay, great." And so he came the next season, and he did the yin, and then for the acupuncture part, he's like, "Do you want anything? No, I'll rub your head. No, nothing. I'll give you something.
Rub your feet. No.
But, oh, no, I feel like you're paying for it. I've got to give you something." But he was like, "Nope." And he just lay there and he did the nidra, and he just wanted to be with the group in that group healing. And he loved it. And it's probably the best. It was just another really lovely example of people just loved it and wanted to be there and wanted to keep coming back and just being in that environment. We didn't need to say much. Yeah, it was just once they'd done it once, they were hooked.
That's great. A nidra on its own, even without the acupuncture, is potent. It's so amazing. So even if you did or did not rub his head, he would have gotten so much out of that.
Oh, I loved it.
What do you think personally about what it means to combine yin yoga and acupuncture in one session? What are your thoughts about that?
I think you're getting some double whammy. Like, you're just getting this really beautiful afternoon of self-care and following through on the same theme, and just it's just a whole beautiful 2 hours of looking after you and being with a group of like-minded people, but also potentially not even knowing any of the people in the room. You're laying next to someone who you might have seen in the yoga studio, you may not have. You make these connections with people, and often, and again, in the studios that we would do this in hot yoga studios, people come to their class, they do their class, they run out and they're gone again. But when we do this kind of workshop environment and then we encourage people to have tea, there's still people that are like, "Oh no, I don't want tea," because they don't want to like have the connection. But this really made people wanted to come and have tea. They wanted to talk more about it. They wanted to learn more about it. And I think it's just such a simple thing to incorporate. And, you know, a lot of these people continue to have acupuncture today and, you know, go and see Jane. And, you know, something they didn't know, you know, lots of people are needle phobes, but to be introduced to it in this really beautiful way has just brought this other dimension of healing modalities that they mightn't have been able to have, or that they might never have been, that they never wanted, well, they never tried. That, you know, we put it in front of them, they said, you know, "Here we go, here's a workshop, come to the studio, come do this, try it out," and all of a sudden they're doing something that is wonderful for them and they really feel the benefits. And
yeah. But they asked you if you could do it weekly. Did anyone ever say, "Oh, can you do this more regularly? I would do this every week."
Absolutely. And people would 100% pay for it. Yes, they would do it. Yeah. We could have probably done it monthly at a couple of the studios quite easily. Yeah.
There's not that many places where you can get community acupuncture in Melbourne.
Not that I know of. Yeah, I don't know of any at the moment. Well, definitely not at the moment. But, yeah, I don't know.
And we have a lot of conversations. Like, I've had a lot of conversations with people that were in my cohort, and community acupuncture really lines up with our values as to why we're doing what we're doing. But I think it takes a very savvy person to find that fine line between offering something that's very community oriented and service oriented, so it's affordable for the people who really need it, but maybe don't have access to it because they're just not able to for financial reasons. But then at the same time, how you do that whilst still making sure that the practitioners are getting paid well, that they're not burning out themselves, they're not overextending themselves. And I think that balance is really tricky to find, especially if maybe you don't have a big amount of capital to start with. And so therefore I haven't seen that many community acupuncture enterprises begin or spaces begin. And I think you've kind of found a way for it to work and keep costs really low, and it's getting great feedback and it works.
Yeah. And yoga studios, you know, they're always looking for ways to make the most of this space. They've got this fantastic space. They've invested in props and, you know, everything that you, if you teach yin in your studio, you've got everything there that you need to make someone feel really comfortable on the floor. You know, even if they need to lay on three mats, you've got everything there that you need. So yeah, it's, making the best of, or making the most of those yoga studios with that equipment is, seems like a win-win. Good way forward. Yeah, win-win. Oh, yeah, win-win definitely. For everyone. Mm.
Definitely, definitely. And what kind of feedback have you had from people before? Has anyone ever kind of come and said, hey, since I've been doing this, I've noticed that this particular thing has changed in my health? Or has anyone come back and shared their health story with you from your offering? Not that we want to talk about people
specifically,
but just as a general idea of how it's influencing people.
I guess the biggest thing is the whole thing is the stress, the mental health, that I just feel better. I went home, I slept better than I'd ever slept before. Those types of things. And just being asked to come back and do it again and again, and, you know, watching the people, as soon as you open it up on Mind Body to start seeing those bookings just come rolling in, is always fantastic, because you know that you've affected people, whether they've come straight out and told you. And because we're in a yoga studio environment as well, people won't always like stand at that desk and tell you their health, you know, what's changed for them, but you know that they are just talking to them, they feel better, they look better, they've slept better, all of those things. The fact they keep coming back is good testament to us. That
says enough, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I both know we see a lot of people, we see a lot of patients. You're seeing a lot of the patients at the school clinic. Stress. Everyone's stressed. Yeah. And sleep difficulties is top five.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Stress, if you can go home and get a good night's sleep after that, you've the impact is huge. For sure.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh, so great. And there aren't any offerings at the moment, right? This is obviously studios are not open, so everything's on pause. Life is on pause. So aspects of life are on pause. But this is something that will continue in the future. That's the vision.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we even when yoga studios briefly opened, we wanted people to still have the best experience. We didn't want it to be a stressful experience. So yeah, once everything is back up running and we're 100% comfortable that everyone is comfortable in that space, laying on the floor, all of those things, we'll be back. It's just, we don't want anything to make people feel uncomfortable. We want that to all just, as much as people really need it now in any way, shape or form, we want it to be as good as it can be and not have people feeling stressed.
Hey, and by the time that happens, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? We're all just living our lives with a pencil.
Absolutely.
HB.
Got one sitting here,
easy to erase.
Yeah.
You might be qualified.
Yes.
So I'm back. Yes. You and Jane, needles are going to be in.
Well, yes. So quickly. Because obviously I couldn't, that was the whole thing, wasn't it? That I couldn't put any in or really take any out. So
Jane's there on plowing the earth, doing all the work and.
Yep, I'm just sitting back.
Waiting.
So we record my voice in the yoga nidra and then we, get into the acupuncture together. Yeah, that's.
Like I think if people's needles were in with swifter, because you've got more hands on deck. And how long is it that you say you like to try and have the needles in for?
So there is research that suggests that a cycle of chi through the body is about 28 and a half minutes. So we want everyone to have them in for, that good 30 minutes, unless, and, you know, we have certainly had people say, oh, I've had acupuncture before. I really only want them in for 15 minutes, that type of thing. So that's absolutely fine as well. But, yeah, as a general rule, Jane can get all those needles in probably 12 to 15 minutes into, say, those 16 or 20 people, which is, again, why we need to, like, we would never go above 20 people with just one person. So, yeah, you get them all in, everyone's in for that 30 minutes, and then we move back through and take all the needles out, which is obviously a lot quicker. And then we also give them a ear seed to take away in Shenmen. So,
Nice.
So they don't forget about us while they're drinking their tea.
Little, you know, little show bag totem.
Yes, takeaway. Takeaway. Yeah.
Takeaway.
Yeah. Right. So tell them all about that. You know, give Shenmen a massage, and when you're feeling a bit stressed or anxious. So always something to remember us by.
Well, I personally have definitely got my eye on you. I can't wait until you're done at school. You have some brilliant ideas. Watch out, everybody. Bridget Hunter is on her way. Just the way you talk about herbs and
herbs.
Great ideas that you have. I mean, the yin and pins is one amazing, juicy offering that you have. But gosh, I know there's so much that you're going to have to offer our collective community when you're done. So I hope these 13 weeks are cruisy.
Fly by
and you cross that finishing line.
Yep.
Have a good time recovering. And then, we get to have you, which is very exciting.
Get a traditional summer break, and then next year, ready to go. The world's back to normal.
You have a vision of how you might like to practice or what you might like to do, or is that that just hasn't taken shape yet?
Yeah, I think the HB pencil is just the only thing we can do at the really haven't made any plans. Probably should, but
Well, I don't know. I like to think, and I think for myself the last year, I would never have known that things had happened the way that they've happened. I think when you are just really present, it shows up. And when it shows up and you see the signs for it and you act on it, I can only speak for me, but there've been things that have happened this year where all I've needed to do is get to the point where I needed to action it. And it just felt like the universe was saying, cool, we're ready. Yep. We've got it all here. Yep. You've just got to have the thought or you have the realization that you're ready for this new direction. And then it just flows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've no doubt that will be the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I am putting my faith in when the right time comes, then the right thing will be there. And
yeah, it will.
Whatever that might be.
Well, folks that are listening, I will be putting contact details or ways that you can follow or connect with Bridget in the show notes if you want to follow her journey, and then just keep an eye out for when the Yin and Pins events start up again in the future sometime.
Yeah,
great to get to, or even just to talk about ideas that you might have about ways that you could introduce acupuncture for the community in a more accessible form, rather than it having to be something that's a little out of people's price range. So love the forward thinking of that. Love bringing this medicine to people where they really need it. And it's been an absolute delight to hear about that today. To talk to you, Bridge.
Been great chatting. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Any last words before we wrap up?
Closing statement? No. I should have something inspirational, like if we live with the seasons, good health will follow. But
great. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening today.
Thanks, Karina.
Thank you.
To view the show notes from this episode and to subscribe, visit drkarinasmith.com/podcast. And don't forget to check out Karina's online courses at drkarinasmith.com/courses and use promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off.